And the Mishnah teaches, Misha halach l'medina sayam. If a fellow went on a faraway journey, somebody else got up and he started to give to this guy's wife her food. Now the fellow who left had never asked him to do so. Then the fellow comes back and he says, okay, now you owe me all the money that I spent to feed your wife. It was your obligation to feed your wife. I paid it off. So now you need to give me reimbursement. Hanan omer ibris ma'osav. Hanan said, sorry. He lost the money. Because there never was a deal where the husband said, you take care of my obligations. So this guy who was nice enough to give money was basically giving a present. And this is yet another instance with the sons of the Kohanim Gadolim disagreed with Hanan. And they said, no, Yishava Kamahotzi. He should swear to determine how much he spent, and then V'yitol, he can collect that amount from the husband. Amar Reb Dosa ben Horkinus k'divreihem. Reb Dosa ben Horkinus said, I agree with the Chachamim that the fellow who's nice enough to step in and give money can swear about the amount and then collect it. And Amar Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai said, no, Yaf Amar Hanan, I agree with Hanan, that he niach ma'osav al keren hatzvi, that this fellow had put his money on the horn of a deer. He spent money, but he had no reason why he would be entitled to it. And that's it. Whatever he spent, he lost.
Why wouldn't he follow the rules that the husband himself has?
What do you mean by that?
The prior mission said, you know, the husband's obligated for the first, not for the first 3 months, after the first 3 months, whatever it was. That was a prior mission.
Right.
So the husband has responsibilities in certain circumstances. So if this guy helped them out when he had the responsibility, then maybe he should get paid.
If the husband has responsibilities, the husband had never made a deal with this guy that this guy would do it. So the husband can claim, you gave my wife a gift. That was very nice of you.
Thank you.
You gave her a gift. Wasn't alone, as Rashi says. Shalom, look at the Rashi on the Mishnah. Hanan Omer Ibeis Ma'osav. Hanan said he lost his money. I never told you, give me a loan and I'll pay you back. If he went to the wife and he said, I'm giving you a loan for your money, for your food, on condition that she pays him back. Who told him? So then he could come and demand that she pay him back because she had taken money as a loan. And then she can then go demand that the husband give her the money. And then the husband would have to pay. As we said earlier, that if there was a minor, she doesn't get paid. The love to va'achla, what's the case of ma'enes who doesn't collect? She had borrowed money when the husband was away and eaten with that borrowed money. Then va'amdomina, then she got up and she rejected the whole marriage. The reason why she doesn't get paid is because retroactively there was no marriage. Hello, Miana, but if she wouldn't have retroactively removed the marriage, Nishan, the husband, would have to pay. He would have to pay if it was explicitly structured as a loan. But if it was structured as a gift, then there is no payment.
So, no, but Rabbi, first of all, she was getting money or she was getting food? From the other guy.
Money, it's the same thing. Money for food.
I mean, how could he swear that how much money he gave? I mean,
kept a record.
Measured.
So just add up the food amount?
He gave her 50 bucks a week or whatever.
Yeah, he kept a record.
Kept it. And then they knew that the husband is going to come back or this is...
I don't think they knew. He was gone, then he shows up, he comes back.
Maybe he had his eyes on something else, you know.
Maybe.
So, Rabbi, we're learning here that a wife can take a loan and that the husband comes responsible for that loan?
That's for sure, right. But the Mishnah is not talking, that's what Rashi says. But the Mishnah's point is a different case. The husband left and somebody stepped in to give the money. So now this guy says, I gave a loan. And the husband can say back, oh, you never said
what
so. You never said it was a loan. Maybe it was a gift. So that's the argument. If Hanan says he lost the money, the Chacham say, no, He gave a loan.
The wife can take a loan in any circumstance, or just when the husband wouldn't be obligated otherwise?
The husband would have been obligated otherwise.
Yes, I'm saying, but if he just takes a loan without any obligation,
no, husband, we're talking about where. Correct. No, we're talking about where he's obligated.
So what is the halacha now? Is this a loan or it is a?
No, for, it's a gift.
Is it, forget about it.
Forget about it.
Yeah. Okay.
So this daf, really, it's a nice daf at the end of Ksubos because it gives us an introduction to some of the ideas of Shavuos and Nedarim. So we've seen mentioned elsewhere in Shas, especially in Masechet Megillah, there's something called Mudar Hana'a. Mudar Hana'a means that a person made a vow that someone else can't get any benefit from him, that other person can't get any monetary benefit from him. Sometimes two people make the vows. Reuven says that, Shimon, you can't get any benefit from anything I own. And Shimon says, okay, I make a neder that everything I own is prohibited to you, and you can't get any benefits from anything that I own. So it's not us. We learned in a Mishnah over there, appropriately enough, in Masechet Nedar. Hamudar hana mechavero. If somebody... Let's say Reuven had made a vow that all of his stuff are prohibited to Shimon. Shimon can't get any benefit from anything that Reuven owns. Okay? And now Shimon has to pay the half shekel because every year every Jew has to pay the half shekel. Shokelo eshiklo. Reuven can pay the half shekel for Shimon. Why? Because it sounds like the half shekel's a mitzvah. And we have a rule, mitzvah slavli hanos nitnu. A mitzvah is not called hana. So if I said it's no one that Reuven can't get any, or I said Shimon can't get benefit from my shofar, Shimon could still hear my shofar to fulfill the mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah, because the mitzvah is not called ana. So here the half shekel is a mitzvah, so therefore he can give the half shekel. Not only that, uporea eschovo, if Shimon owed money, Reuven can pay it off, can pay off the debt.
No.
That's not the issue here. That's, and we'll see later that it's a shavua that he can't do. Now here we're saying that doing a mitzvah on behalf of somebody else or enabling someone else to get a mitzvah is not considered having given to somebody pleasure, having given to someone benefit, because a mitzvah is not considered benefit. So therefore, Reuven had said that Shimon can't get any benefit from Reuven. But Reuven can still go and pay off Shimon's half shekel. Because, well, we'll see. But that's really a mitzvah. And even more so, Reuven can pay off Shimon's debts. And if Reuven finds a lost object of Shimon, he can give him back to him and can do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Now, in those places where the fellow who returns lost objects gets paid some money for the bother of having returned the object. So in a case where Reuven had prohibited Shimon to get benefit from him, and Shimon had prohibited Reuven to get benefit from him, so Shimon can't pay Reuven for having gone and found the lost object, Tipla Nala Ekdesh, let him give that money to the temple trust, and in that way Reuven didn't get any benefit from him. So then the Gemara tries to understand this Mishnah. Vishlama Shokelo Eshiklo. The mitzvah that the idea that Reuven, whom Shimon can't get any benefit from, could give the half shekel that Shimon should be giving, that I understand because mitzvah kavit, because Reuven's doing a mitzvah, and a mitzvah is not considered hana, it's not considered benefit. It's not, as we've learned back in Masechet Shkalim, Tor Menela Avud, when the Kohanim would go and take buckets of coins from the room from the office that had all the shkalim, in order to then use the coins that were in that bucket for purchasing karbanos, for purchasing sacrifices. So let's say the bucket has 200 coins, but meanwhile in the office there are 5,000 coins. So what do they say? They say, okay, these 200 have in them a piece of everything. They're representative of everything. They have in them from what all that's in the room. And therefore, all that is in the room are considered now part of these 200. And they even say, Allah Avod, if there were any coins that were lost before they arrived here, Al hagavoi, coins that were collected and then lost. Al asid ligvos, coins that in the future will be given. All of those people are part of this bucket of coins, of the 200 coins that we're going to use to buy the karbanos and the kayetz hamizbeach, as we've seen yesterday. So therefore, the half shekel is really a mitzvah. In other words, it's not as if Reuven pays off the half shekel that Shimon should pay, Reuven gave Shimon money. Because even if Shimon hadn't given a half shekel, he was planning to give a half shekel, he would also be part of the half shekels. Because the half shekels get given for everybody. So therefore, Reuven didn't really save Shimon money here. Shimon could have gotten away without giving this money. All Reuven did is that Reuven did a mitzvah for Shimon. Mitzvah slavly honest nitnu. Mazel avedas onami. If Reuven finds a lost object of Shimon, that he returned for him. I also understand why he can return it. Because mitzvah kavod, he's only doing a mitzvah. Elo porea lo aschovo. But that Reuven should be able to pay off a loan that Shimon owes. Hakamishtar shile. I understand. He's giving him a profit. And as Gavriel questioned, Reuven had made a vow that Shimon would get no benefit from his property. So if Reuven pays off a loan that Shimon owes to Yerachmiel, so now Reuven is giving Shimon a benefit. All that money that Shimon would otherwise have had to pay, he now doesn't have to pay. So Reuven gave him a benefit. It shouldn't work. He's not allowed to do so. There was an Isser Ana. Rav Oshaya answered, Hamani Hanani. This is who? This is the view of Hanan. Tamar, who said, Yibedes Ma'osav. Hanan says that when a husband is away, and of course, as Fred pointed out, the husband owes his wife food. He has obligations to the wife. But if somebody else comes in and gives the wife money, Hanan says, you know what? It wasn't considered a loan payment. It was considered just having given a gift. He lost his money. So too, over here, if I owe money to somebody and somebody else comes and pays off the debt, now I never told him, lend me money to pay off the debt. So I don't owe this guy any money for having done that. So therefore,
but the rabbi could say that money that was given to him is a gift. It doesn't satisfy the debt of the first guy.
So the same way, Rashi's like this: Kivan diilu pare l'shem alva, lav halvahi. The same way, if that guy would pay off my debt with the hope that I would then be indebted to him, it doesn't work. Kipare nami l'shem achila, when he pays off the debt, so that guy would forgive it. Lav midi yoivle, it's not considered that he gave him anything.
But Rabbi, you could buy the IOU, right?
Right. It's true, he could buy the IOU, but we're saying since he paid it off, that's not considered having given anything to the guy who had borrowed.
Not too many people like that, I'm Rabbi.
So Rava Amar, Rava said, Afilu Tamer Rabbanan. Our Mishnah maybe is following the Rabbanan, that if a person comes and he's the knight in shining armor who pays off the wife, he is entitled to reimbursement. But here it's different. And here with the Neder Hana, it was the following case. Shalava almana shalo lefroa. Shimon has a debt that Reuven paid off, but the debt of Shimon was a debt where he would never have been able to be forced to pay. He borrowed on condition that he can't be demanded. You know, he'll pay whenever he wants to pay. So since he doesn't really have to pay now, so he says to Reuven, you didn't save me from anything. I was under no pressure, so you didn't give me a benefit. So Bishma Rava lo amakir of Oshia. I understand why Rava wouldn't say like Rav Oshia, the Mukim Lakri Abban, because he'd rather this Mishnah be the view of the majority, not just Chanan. El Rav Oshia, my time lo amakir Rava. But Rav Oshia, why wouldn't he say like Rava? Amalachar Rav Oshia said, listen, even according to Hanan, when somebody else pays off a debt that I owe, I don't owe them money. So Nihidana Lesle, okay, maybe therefore it's not as if that guy gave me money. But can you say it's no benefit? He sued for me Lesle. If I would owe money, I would be ashamed about the guy that I owe the money to. And the fact that he paid it off now saves me from that shame. And therefore, Asam Nami Isle Hana. So Shimon's getting a benefit. From the very fact that he's being spared from the embarrassment. And therefore, that's why he didn't want to say this.
So if I walk into a store...
So Rav Osher didn't want to say it like Rava, because even in a case where Shimon had borrowed money, and Shimon couldn't be forced to pay it at any time, but nevertheless, any time Shimon sees the guy who lent him, he's going to be embarrassed. So the fact that somebody stepped in and saved Shimon from this embarrassment, that's already considered hana. Yeah, question.
If I walk into a store and I say to the storekeeper, does anybody here have a, you know, owe you money on account? And they, oh, Mrs. Shapiro, her husband left.
Okay.
So I say, okay, I'm going to pay you off $1,000, Mrs. Shapiro. Then I find out her husband comes back. I can't ask him for that money back.
According to Hanan, correct? Right. That's right. That's right. Exactly.
What store are you shopping at? I'd like to...
So now the Mishnayos list the seven cases where Admon gave rulings, but others disagreed with him. Admon Omer Shiva. Admon said seven rulings. First, Mishameis, if somebody died, Viniach Banemubanos, and he left over sons and daughters. If what he left over was a lot of money, Habanim Yorshim, the sons inherit. That's the mitzvah d'oraisa, so they should inherit. Daughters are not entitled to any inheritance, but midrabanan, as we've seen, there is a tnai ksuba that they should get food. There's a lot of money here, so the habanas needs onus that the girls get some food. However, if there's not a lot of money, in other words, there's not even enough money for a year for both the sons and the daughters. So then we say like this, Abanos Yizonu, let the girls get all the money and they'll use it for food for as long as it'll last. Abanim, but the sons, you know, they're tougher. Yazuel Apsachim, let them go out and collect money. Let them be, you know, govet stuff. Admon Omer, Admon says, doesn't make sense. Bishvil Shani Zachir of Sadati, because I'm a male, I should lose out. Rabbi Gamliel said, Roa Ani is Divrei Admon. I agree to Admon, the boy shouldn't lose out just because there's a little bit of money. My comment, what does he mean? Oh, if I'm a boy, why should I lose out? Amar Abaya, Abaya explained Hachikam. This is what Admon is saying. Shvil Shani Zachar, because I'm a male. V'roi Lasot B'Torah, and I'm really fit to be involved studying Torah. If Sadati, I should lose out in getting some money, which would help me then learn Torah for a little bit. Amalei Rava. So Rava said back to Abaye, "Man dasik b'Torah hu diyaris." Somebody, you know, if you have five boys, one learns Torah, he's the one who gets the whole inheritance, and the other four don't learn Torah, don't get inheritance. What does learning Torah have to do with inheritance? Someone who studies Torah is the one who inherits. Man lo asik b'Torah lo yarit. The one who doesn't study Torah doesn't inherit. Elama Rava. So therefore, rather Rava said, "Achikam." This is what it means. Bishvil shani zachar, because I'm a male. And I'm deserving to inherit when there's a lot of money. If there'd be a lot of money around, I would get the inheritance. I'd get the majority. So now, when there's only a little bit of money, if sadati menachasim uatim, now that there's a little bit of money, I should get nothing? That doesn't make sense. That's why Admon feels that the boys do get. Next Mishnah. Hatoin es chaver. Now, we're going to get to Masechet Nedarim and Shvuos, Bezrat Hashem, next week. In a Shvuah is a type of a verbal commitment which obligates a person. We've seen it quoted earlier. Hashem said in Parshas Matos, Lo Yachel Dvaro, man may not make empty, make vacuous his words, Kechal Yotzei Mipiv Yaseh, whatever he promises, he must do. There is something called a shvua d'oraisa. Sometimes, min ha-Torah, a person has to swear. And one of the most prominent cases where, on a biblical level, a person has to swear is something called modeb miktsas, someone who admitted to part of the claim against him. So let's say I go to Roger. I say to Roger, you owe me 200 zuz. I lent money to you a month ago. It was a typical loan. It was for 30 days. You owe me 200 zuz. And Roger says, I'm sorry. I don't owe you 200 zuz. I paid you 50. So I only owe you 150. Or I only borrowed 150. So I owe you 150. So he's admitting to part of the claim. So admitting to part of the claim, the mitzvah of the Torah, is that Roger needs to swear about the rest. So he says, okay, I only owe you 150. He has to pay that 150, and he has to swear that that other 50 he doesn't owe. It's called Shvuas Modeh B'Miktsas. But let's say I go to Roger, and I say to Roger, you owe me 200 zuz. And Roger says, no, I don't owe you 200 zuz. But you know, you did leave here a book. I'll give you back your book that you had left here for me to watch. So he's talking about something completely different. So when he talks about something completely different, there is no Shvua to Oraisa. So that's called a Hodah Shalomi Minataina. He's admitting to something which wasn't really demanded of him. So if I say to Roger, you owe me 200 zuz, and Roger says, no, I don't owe you 200 zuz, but I do owe you a class teaching your son how to play baseball, because I had promised to do that for you. So that already is something completely different. That's not what I was talking about. And then there is no Shvua to Oraisa. Now another important point to mention before we do the next Gemara is there's something called Gilgul Shvua. That's derived from Sota. Now, once a person has to swear a biblical oath, we can roll on to them other things to swear about. Just like the Sota, when she swears that she wasn't disloyal with this man, whom the husband was jealous of, she also would throw in, and I wasn't with anybody else, and she would throw in multiple oaths as well. Okay, says the Mishnah. Hatoin es chaveiro kadei shemen. One fellow says to his friend, Zev says to Roger, you owe me barrels of oil. And Roger admitted that he owed little jugs. He owed jugs. And they don't have any oil in them. I owe you small jugs. So Admon says, Roger admitted to part of what was claimed against him. Because when I demand barrels of oil, I'm asking for oil and the barrels that they're in. He's admitting not to barrels, he's admitting to jugs, but he's basically admitting to part of what the claim was. So Yishava, you should swear. But the sages say, Eino das miktsas mimin ataina. What Roger admitted to is not what he had been claimed from him. It's not from the same type. And therefore there's no biblical shvua. Amar Gamliel said, Rohani is divri admon. Again, I agree with Admon. So it's really a question of what is the meaning of the taina. What do the words mean? When somebody says, you owe me barrels, what does it mean? Does he mean the oil that would fill the barrels? Does he mean the oil plus the barrel? So the Gemara now says, this question, Shmamina, can't we derive the Rabbanan? According to the Rabbanan, who say that there is no biblical obligation of Shvua, that ta'ano chitinu sorim, if somebody demands from his friend wheat and barley, and the friend admits that he owes barley, pater, if that's not considered modeh b'miktsas hataina, and he is exempt. Doesn't have to swear me d'oraisa. Because that's what's going on here. The guy demanded barrels plus oil. The fellow admitted to forms of barrels, and the chacham said he doesn't have to swear. Because in terms of the oil, he's entirely denying it. This should be a disprover of Nachman, it says in the name of Shmuel. If A demands from B wheat and barley, and B admits to some of the barley or to some of the wheat, Chayav B needs to swear. So you see here that he doesn't. Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, no. What's going on here is he's not asking for the barrels. He's asking for an amount of oil. The Tano Mida. He's saying, I want 10 barrels worth of oil back. You have oil of mine, so give me the amount of oil that could fill 10 barrels. But I don't want the physical barrel. And the guy says back, I don't owe you any oil. I'll give you jugs that I owe you. So that's already not admitting to what was demanded of him. The Gemara says, if the guy is not admitting to what was demanded of him, So my time with the Admon. Why does Admon say that the guy has to take an oath? Everybody agrees to the concept that if there's a kfira bakol, if there's a rejection of everything that was demanded of him, that there's no need for an oath. El Amar Rava, so Rava said no. The Kuli Alma, everybody agrees that it really depends on the terminology. Hey, Chadamar Leimulo Asara Kadesh Shemen Yeshli Bebarcha. If he said this phrase, 10 filled barrels of oil I have in your pit, give it back to me. So then Shemen Katoinle, then I'm asking him for oil, because the oil in the pit is not in the barrels. So I'm asking him for an amount of oil. Kankanim lo katoinle, then I'm not asking him to give me back barrels. I'm not claiming for the barrels. If he admits that he owes me some jugs, then certainly he doesn't have to swear, because he's not admitting to that which I was claiming from him. If, though, I said, Asara kadeh shemen meleim yesh li etzlecha, I have 10 full barrels of oil with you. So I'm telling him I have full barrels with you. So then, shemen v'kankanen katoin le. So I'm asking him for the oil, and I'm asking for the barrels, because I'm telling him I have full barrels with you. He admits to some of the jugs. Okay, that's already... Oh, Dami makes a satayna. Keep pligi, where's the argument? Hey, Chadamale, where he told him, Asara kadeh shemen yesh li etzlecha. I have 10 barrels of oil with you. So what does that mean? Well, the question is, what do the words mean? What do the words mean exactly? What's the claim? If he says, Asara kadeh shemen meleim, I have 10 full barrels, so then he's asking for the barrels and he's asking for the oil. But if he says, Asara kadeh shemen, so what does that mean? Admon omer yesh b'lashon hazeh l'lashon kankanim. Admon says that phrase means that he's asking for the barrels and for the oil. And therefore, since there was an admittance to part of the barrels, there's a biblical oath. Rabbanan sabi, the Rabbanan old, ein b'lashon hazeh l'lashon kankanim. That doesn't really mean the barrels, he's just asking for the oil. So the Gemara now says, well, if that's the way to read it, Ela time of the Imbaloshan is Eloshan Kankanim. The reason why, according to the Chachamim, there's no oath is because this terminology didn't include the barrels. There was never a claim for the barrels. Hayesh Baloshan is Eloshan Kankanim. But if a person would make a claim for barrels and oil, and the other guy would admit to barrels, then chayiv, then that other guy would certainly have to swear about the oil too. So lema tevi tiyuv to the Rav Chiya Bar Abba. So now this mishnah should disprove Rav Chiya Bar Abba. Tamar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, because we know Rav Chiya Bar Abba is going to teach us in Masechet Shavuos, ta'ano chitan usorim, if I demand of somebody wheat and barley, v'hodol obecha mehem, and that guy admits to some barley, patri, he doesn't have to swear about the wheat. Tamar Rav Simi Bar Ashi. So Rav Simi Bar Ashi said, when you talk about a barrel and oil, Nasa kimishatano rimon bikli pasa. It's like I'm demanding from somebody a pomegranate with its peel. If I demand of somebody a pomegranate, so of course that's the peel too. The peel and the pomegranate are one thing. So when I ask somebody for barrels of oil, I'm asking for one thing, and therefore it's all included. Whereas if I ask of somebody wheat and barley, those are two different things. If he admits to the barley, in terms of the wheat, he's completely denying it. He doesn't have to swear about the wheat. So Maska for Ravina, so Ravina challenges, Rimon below Klipasa lo Mintar. If you have a pomegranate without a peel, it's not going to stay preserved. Shemen Mintar below Kankanim. You can have oil without the barrel that they're in. Elahachab Mayaskina, here, what are we talking about? Amalei, when he said to him, Asara kadeh shemen yesh li etzlecha. I have 10 barrels of oil by you that you owe me. And the other one tells him, Shemen, lo yadorim yolam. Oil, I never owed you. Kankanim nami, even in terms of jars, chamisha islach, I owe you 5 jars, chamisha leslach, 5 I don't owe you. Admon omer, Admon says, yesh b'lashon hazeh lashon kankanim. So there was a claim of jars and there was a claim of oil. Migud kamishtaba kankanim, since he has to swear about the jars, because he's admitting to some of them, but denying the rest of them. Mishtaba nami Hashem, and he has to swear also about the oil al yedei Gilgal. Because once he's swearing about the jars, he also has to swear about the oil. Right? It's rolled in. Rabbanan sarvin, the Rabbanan old, ein v'loshen hazeh loshen kankanim. This terminology really wasn't about the kankanim. When he demanded from him was only oil. Mashatana lo hodolo, mashodolo lo tana. So just to review, Till this point, I'm not sure I was entirely clear. Till this point, the Gemara was talking about Tano Chitim V'Saorim V'Odelo V'Saorim. It's when he demanded of him, let's say, two bushels of, you know, one of wheat and one of barley. And the guy had admitted to the one of barley, but not admitted to the one of wheat. So we saw that that's an argument of the Amoraim, whether that's called Odab Mitzvah Sataina. So he said, well, maybe our Mishnah is proving that question. So the Gemara says, ultimately, no, it's not proving that question, because our Mishnah maybe is talking about where he was claiming the barrels and the oil according to Atmon, and he was admitting to some of the barrels. Within the barrels, he's admitting to some and denying the rest. And therefore, even if you hold that when there's a claim of wheat and barley, admitting to the barley is not some of the wheat claim, but here there'd have to be a shvuah just for the barley, because it'd be like admitting to part of the barley. So since there's a shvuah on the barley, you could roll in a shvuah on the wheat too. And according to the Chachamim, there never was a claim on the barrels. There was only a claim on the oil, and he never had admitted to anything that had been claimed against him.